Welcome to episode 9 of the Sports Bible. I'm your co-host, Michael.
I'm your other co-host, Jackson. We had an exciting first official practice last Thursday for Laurier varsity soccer team. Went smooth. It was passionate. You could see the passion in people's eyes. It felt nice. What was it? I think red team won 7, or were we yellow?
I think we were a yellow team.
Yellow team clamp. Yellow team slap.
Yes, sir.
Michael, how'd you feel like you did?
I think it was good. It was good to finally, get the final touches, started with the team. I think it's moving in the right direction. It was good to have the time as well with the players, kind of start building that chemistry. And it went well. We still got a lot of work to do, but we're definitely, we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah. I don't know if we do practices over Christmas break. Do you know if you do or not?
No, we usually don't. So we just make, sure like everybody knows to like stay fit, obviously, work out when you can, because you don't want to come back, obviously, 10 pounds heavier. And
you don't want to.
You don't want to try and catch up because it takes a lot of work. So, you might as well just stay consistent throughout the winter break. Just work on your fitness, get your touch in when you can, and then yeah.
Now games, they're mid-January, beginning of January, end of January.
So when I played in first year, it started end of January. We actually, I think the first tournament was actually on my birthday, which was January 26th. Okay. So that's when the first tournament was. And then we had a second one, I believe, like 3 weeks after. And then we had another one like a week after it. And then 2 weeks later, it was like regionals. But I believe this year, we're only having 2 tournaments just because of a shortened season. But I know with the restrictions and everything, how next year, they're allowing more stuff to happen, we may have an extra tournament. So it's still very up in the air. So we'll see.
Okay, good. Because I was thinking, like, we need a lot more practices.
Definitely.
Because the first one, as much as it went well, there was you could see there was a lot of chemistry problems. A lot of first touches weren't the greatest in some people. I was like, if we're off on Christmas break, you go back in January, we're into the tournament, we're gonna get hammered because we don't have the chemistry.
Yeah.
But so luckily we get more practices in January, because that's a good thing. I think that pretty much covers Brantford, the side of Brantford. I know that, as I said before, yellow team, no one could touch us. It was simple. we had this system. We had vocal people. We had the formation, the tactics. And as a rookie myself on a team playing with, experienced players like yourself and Godva, I think having you two on the team really helped put us inexperienced players in positions where we needed to be. Especially, the vocalizing was, I think, the best part. And I think with your experience and your, like, shifting of momentum and stuff, really, I think that was a key part of us being successful, that practice. We just clicked right away. And then as we got each game, we got better and better and better. So, it was definitely exciting. I could see the passion in players, especially Godva. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you could tell he doesn't like to lose, and that's the mentality we need in this team. Is we'll go out there and we expect us to win every game. The thing that kind of worries me about this team is there's a lot of players who deserve to be captain of this team and this, who are experienced. But and that's, I think that's the issue. We have so many players like that, and it's going to be hard to choose just one to run this team as a leader. And there's a couple players I have in mind, and I feel like you can do it. But it just, it's so hard to pinpoint one person. Because obviously you're, from my experience, you're like one of the most vocal people out there, encouraging. You just see, you see the game, how it flows and stuff. Obviously, Roberto has experience. He's vocal. He came when he was injured on the bench. Visser in the midfield. I just feel like when he's off the thing, when it's in the game, in scrimmage games, he's vocal. Even when you're playing with him in mid-game, he'll talk to you, show you the positions. If you're out of the game, he'll come up to you, he'll give you new tactics, he'll give you pros and cons, which is good. So if out of those, I think my three finalists for, I think, captains of this team. It's just going to be hard to pinpoint one person because there's so many like leaders on this team that can easily take the captain spot. So I think that's the only like real issue I feel like with this team is just who's going to be the captain.
For sure. And thank you for the feedback that you gave as well. Just about Yellow, kind of just, you know, seeing it from your perspective, I think that's important as well, obviously, because I've had like previous experience, you know, it does help in kind of like understanding the importance of practice, you know, how we need to train and stuff like that. And again, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's kind of a good problem and a bad problem at the same time, because having multiple vocal leaders, that's very helpful in a team. But again, like, you know, having that just one can also be beneficial because, you know, not that it's like a power thing or anything, just understanding like, you know, dynamics to where you can't always have like six people talking. You know what I mean? There's kind of like a time and a place. But obviously the more vocal or the more leaders in general, the better. Having one guy that you rely on all the time can be, you know, it can be straining or, but it really depends on the identity of your team. You know, some teams having, you know, multiple leaders, that's how they make it through. Some teams having that one leader that they know, you know, is always going to be talking and always going to be, you know, representing them. They can succeed as well. So I think while we still, you know, find out the identity of our team, it'll show us what, you know, which kind of style is more suited for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. What else I'd like to add in, Godva, my bad, I forgot that. I think he should be up there as well as being selected because he was, again, very vocal on the Yellow team, especially towards inexperienced players, and just having that someone who's had experience before. So just having that, I think that's what we need because we're such an inexperienced team. We're so young. Everyone's new. It's like we're all fresh. So picking the right person, I feel like will be the most crucial decision this season because we're just so new. So picking that one person who the coaches and players see as the person who can run this team, it's going to be the do or die on this team. If you pick the wrong person, I don't think we're going to be successful. If you pick the right person, I think we're going to be successful because that's what a young team needs is that veteran leadership. So yeah, that covers Brantford. Move on as you usually do. The Gunners, 2-0. Newcastle still with no win. The Gunners, they looked a bit shaky in the first half. Second half is where they really pounded on. Two goals from Saka and Gabriel Martinelli. The decision to take out Saka in the 63rd minute was frustrating, I feel like. I was watching the highlights and he was all over the place in the second half, creating chances, just and then this the I mean the his Arteta's decision to take Saka off obviously helped because Gabriel scored in like I'd say like 2 minutes after, which was a beautiful goal, lofted through ball one time over the keeper. Their precision and the accuracy and the just tracking that ball and the one touch was unbelievable. Saka obviously left foot in the corner, but yeah, I'm happy. 2-0, we move up, get 3 points, move on against, I think, the next game in any competitions against Manchester United. So I'm excited. I don't know your thoughts on the game.
I was only able to see highlights as well. I think from what I saw, like you said, the first half we were a bit, we didn't really do much. They defended pretty well, Newcastle. I think it took a lot of individual brilliance, especially from Saka, Smith Rowe. I thought Lokonga and Nuno Tavares played a lot better, a lot better than their performance at Liverpool. I thought Tavares was going to be dropped, actually. I thought Tierney was going to come into the side, but clearly not. What do you think of Tavares overall? The Tavares versus Tierney debate? Because I have an interesting take on it, but I want to hear yours first.
That's tough. I'd probably have to go with KT. I just feel like he's definitely one. He's going to be, if he stays at Arsenal, he's going to be for sure a captain in the future. He just has that leadership quality with him. He's smart with the football. Like all of our, I'd say, fullbacks, they can all play up. You've seen Tierney go up box to box. He plays in beautiful crosses. Tavares is the same thing. Tomiyasu is the same thing. Bellerin's the same thing. You know, all of the fullbacks in Arsenal are players who can play the wing-back position. I just feel like Tierney is just the guy. He's quick. Physicality. He's smart with the ball. He's vocal on the defense side. And he's not afraid to make risky tackles. And he'll put his body on the line for an Arsenal win. So I just feel like I haven't seen enough of Nuno Tavares yet.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I feel like Tierney's got the edge. But I think in the future, I'm still sticking with KT. Maybe if he could switch Tavares to like a different, maybe left mid or put him, because he can play anywhere. He can play left back, center mid, CDM. So I feel like if you put him in the midfield, he'd be good. But the left back position, I just feel like defensively, KT is more suitable.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, over like a 10-year run, I do think Tierney will be the better left back. It's just Nuno, what I realized early on, he's very, very athletic. He's very quick, he's strong, and he can run well with the ball. So I think kind of like how Chelsea deploy their defense, I think Nuno Tavares will be very good in certain, you know, like matchups. I think when you want to be a bit more defensive and control the game more, playing Tierney is much better, but Nuno would be more for attacking offensive. Because like you said, I think I saw a stat where he was in the box, like he had like 6 shots against Newcastle. He had the most, and I'm like, that's your left back. So you can see how he's very, you know, attack minded. So I think in certain instances, he's better than Tierney going forward. But when we need to defend, and especially against teams, you know, like City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tierney would be much better because his recovery is better and he's a much better defender 1v1. But they are both still young. So I think we're still, you know, the best is yet to come. But I'm glad we do have both of them, and it gives some competition to Tierney as well, because he wasn't really you know, worried about his place. Other than injury, I think he thought, you know, his spot was solidified. So it's good to have that friend, that competition on the side.
Yeah, it's an exciting, I think, with Arsenal, we've always had good fullbacks. And I think now if you start looking for that solidified center back, I feel like we can be a real threat to the Premier League. I just don't trust, you know, Ben White's had some shaky games with us. Gabriel, I just feel like he's, it's kind of weird for me to say this, but I feel like he's just too big for that position. I feel like he has some reckless challenges in the box. I feel like he's not smart when it comes to in the box. I just feel like he's just too big for that position. He's like, I don't know, kind of like a Harry Maguire, just not really smart in the back and what he does. And lately, though, he's been playing well, but if I need more consistency from him. But I just feel like Arsenal, like our main point should be looking at the center back position, because I just feel like we're just too inconsistent there. And we got to stop loaning out Saliba. We need him next year for sure. I feel like he should be a starter on Arsenal. He was in like the top 30 for the Golden Boy as a center back. So I think getting him next year back from loan will be incredibly helpful for Arsenal. But yeah, I think that's the vocal point right now, is focus on the center back, get consistency in there, because our fullbacks are great. I love Tomiyasu. I love Nuno. I love Tierney. Bellerin has always been great for us.
Bellerin sucks. Bellerin sucks.
I mean, I haven't seen him play in a while. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if he's on loan. I don't know if he's on the transfer list. I know speculation going him going back to Barcelona.
Yeah, he's on loan. He's on loan right now.
But I think he's on his way out for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I personally like Bellerin, but I could definitely see why. I just feel like he hasn't
developed.
Played well, but he hasn't played like shit. I think he's stayed the same form throughout his years in Arsenal, and it's kind of frustrating. But yeah, that's the big word, develop. He hasn't developed yet. I just feel like he's more of an attacking player than a defensive player. So our midfields looks good. We're young. But we have skill, and our forwards, there's obviously players we can let go. But that's strong. I think just our center backs, just getting that consistency, because our keepers, we found our keeper. We found Ramsdale.
Yeah, looking very solid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just, I feel like our center backs, because they're just inconsistent right now.
Yeah. I was going to talk, that was about the whole striker issue. Because I do feel like, you know, Arteta's done a good job of our defense. You know, barring the Liverpool and the City game, and I guess the Chelsea game, we've defended a lot better over, like, this period of the season. And, you know, it's about to get busy once again. You know, the Christmas period is usually very busy going into January, and we're going to really see where we're at. You know, we got a big game coming up on Thursday against Man United. Another, I think, important test. The game came at a good time. But the striker issue, Aubameyang doesn't look like he's the same. Doesn't look like he's the same. I know he had a good game. He's had a few goals this season. But I don't know if you saw the chance that he missed.
Oh, my goodness.
It was right there. It was right
there. How do you miss that? We could have easily won that game at least four.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I don't expect Lacazette to score a lot of goals either. Like, I'm just a little worried. A little worried up there.
Yeah, I can agree. Like, trust, like, I don't have the trust like I did before when Aubameyang first came in. Mm-hmm. Lately, it's been our midfield scoring goals. Smith Rowe or Saka has been putting the ball in the back of the net. which is kind of, it's good for us, we're scoring goals, but it's concerning for our attack. Your striker, that's your main, your number one goal is balls in the back of the net. Midfield, they're, yeah, it's up there for scoring goals, but their main thing is moving the ball from one box to another box in a consistent flow and setting up our strikers. The wings are meant for putting the ball in positions in the box for our strikers to get to it, and opening up on the wings and giving an option for our midfield and defense. Striker is a position where you're just up. You don't really run back as much. You're up on the top a lot, just finding gaps and holes to get open to. And you're pretty much there to just poke and tap ins and receive balls from the box and corners. Like, you're a striker. It should be goals, goals, goals. And the trust I have in Arsenal and the attack is slowly dwindling. We need a goal scorer. We need someone who I can have trust up in the top. Like we had before, like we had Danny Welbeck, Giroud, Sanchez. Like, we had those attacks where I felt confident. We just need someone who's going to put balls in the back of the net on a consistent basis, day in and day out, every game. And I'm going to see Aubameyang, like I said, doing that soon. So, I don't even know who would you want to come in and fill that position?
Best case scenario would be Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
He'd be perfect. I don't think we will get him just because I don't know about our Champions League situation and all of that. There's this kid, he's Swedish. I'm not sure if you know him. Alexander Isak.
Yep. Oh, yeah. This man tore it up in the Euros.
Mm-hmm. I think he's 6'3" as well.
He's young.
And he's young. Exactly. So I think he's our age. I think he's 20. So yeah, he's 22. So right now he's at Real Sociedad, but I would love to bring him to Arsenal. He's proven himself. And we need a different type of striker. I feel like, especially with the way the game's played, like, you know, we see how Chelsea can kind of play without a striker. You know, they have Lukaku, but we've seen how they still do well without, you know, like an out and out striker. We've seen how well City do. We've seen, you know, Liverpool having Firmino and Jota, they're not really out and out strikers. They still do a job. They still score goals. But we see how a lot of these teams, you know, the wing play is very important. And I think we've kind of established that. But I think having that real striker will kind of set us over the top. You know, give us another threat as well. But yeah, I think Uba's on his, I don't know, this season's going to be very important for him. He needs to, there's still a lot of time left, but I do think, you know, as much as with Arsenal's had their struggles, I think with Uba, a lot of it's been his own doing. You know what I mean? Like, even though, like, Arsenal, like, we're not the best, we're not where we should be, I think most of Uba's problems have been on him. So he can't really be mad at the fans or the board, you know, or the club. It's more like, you need to finish your chances because it's not like you're not getting them. So yeah, we will see. We will see what goes down. There were some other games. You know, Man City did beat West Ham yesterday 2-1. Leicester had a good showing, winning 4-2 against Watford. Liverpool won 4-0 in a very convincing win against Southampton. And Chelsea tied 1-1 with Man United. Man United this morning did confirm that they appointed a new manager, Ralph Rangnick.
Yep.
his first test will be against us on Thursday, which will be a big game. It's at Old Trafford. It's gonna be a big game.
Yeah, yeah.
A must win for Arsenal. A must win.
I think it's a must win for Man United, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I feel like they've been struggling. Obviously, I mean they did make it through to the round of 16 in the Champions League. They can win at the group stage, but in the Prem, I think this is a must win game, and they need 3 points. As much as I want them to get 3 points as an Arsenal fan, they can't settle with a point or 0 points. They need three. They need all three here, because they need to really rally under this new manager. Obviously, he has experience. You've seen Klopp give him high praise, and he said that, you know, I'm pretty sure Klopp said that he paved the way for certain managers, and he has a ton of experience with small clubs, and he's made small clubs big clubs now. So this is a manager who I feel like will change Man United around eventually. I think this season's already right off. I think next season, when he gets a full season under his belt, he gets a full window where he can look at players and really figure where the holes are. What shocked me was that Carrick benched Ronaldo, which was a little head scratcher. Obviously, Carrick's played with Ronaldo. He's played in the same time when Ronaldo's playing, so he knows what Ronaldo can do. So it was kind of a shocker benching Ronaldo. Like, in my opinion, the best player to ever touch the pitch, and you put him on the bench as your first start for head coach. So I don't know. It's as I said, it's a must win for United. I feel like Arsenal's gonna pull it off. I feel like it's gonna be 2-1 game for Arsenal. Yeah, we're out of Old Trafford, but I just think we already bounced back from the 4-0 defeat. We won 2-0 against Newcastle. I think we're going to get back. We're going to just click again. So I have Arsenal in a close win against United, but it's a must win for Manchester. They have to walk away with 3 points. No other option.
Yeah. I agree. Man United, I think at this point of time, need it more than Arsenal. But I also think, like, if Arsenal win this, this would be a very statement. This is a statement win for Arsenal. This is like not that, oh, like Arsenal are back. It's just more of like, okay, Arsenal are serious. And I do think it'll be a different, it's going to be more of a game where I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if Ronaldo won it 90th minute header. I think it's going to be a very boring game. So like you said, yeah, 2-1 wouldn't surprise me, even a 1-0. I think Arsenal should win the game. But because when we play Man United, I know we've done like decently well over the last couple of years, especially when they've had Ollie. But I don't know. Anytime we play Man United, especially at Old Trafford, I feel like there's like a mental block when we play them. It's just like we're lesser than them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we shouldn't. I think this season we've proven that, you know, Arsenal's slowly getting back into that Wagner kind of era. Where we're a top team in this league, and I think we've always had been a top team in this league. Now we're starting to really, you know, our players really starting to develop into stars, which is good. So Just wait. Next season, even I feel like this season, we're definitely going to qualify for either Champions League or Euros. I mean, not Euros, Europa.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely one of those. And then next season, I think we're going to be top three team. I think we're going to finish top three in the table next season. If we add the pieces we need, we get the perfect, we get that goal score we need. We get that, we fill out a confident center back to pair either beside Gabriel or pair beside Ben White. Just having that consistency in there. So it's exciting to be an Arsenal fan. It's exciting. Arteta's really proven to us that he can be the guy to lead Arsenal to the promised land. And we're slowly, just slowly creeping up into that top four this season, and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's good to see. Yeah, I'm glad we're heading in the right direction. The win of Newcastle, even though it was an easy game, it was important to win. Keep us in the right place. So we sit at fifth, and you know, West Ham losing, we have a chance to overtake them. You know, if we beat United, and then if they lose, or if they tie, so we will see. We will see.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting week for football this year, and this week. We're gonna switch gears. We're gonna flip over to the pitch, to the court. We had some great games of basketball. The Lakers and Pistons went at it again. Not brawl, but I was expecting some heat or some kind of tension between that game after the LeBron Isaiah Stewart incident. The Lakers did come out with a win, which is good. And I didn't watch the game, but you know, it was another close game against Detroit, which is a team that they shouldn't be going and blowing out. It's concerning as a fan here. As much as I want to say they're going to walk away with the chip this year, I don't think it's going to happen.
Finally, you've seen the light.
Yeah. I'm going to come to sense here. I'm not going to say no stupid stuff. But I don't think this is it. I think LeBron's title run is over. I think he's going to end his career with four. I think his MVP run is over. I think he's going to end his career with four as well.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
He, past couple of seasons, he's been getting injured a lot more often. I mean, it's incredible. It's taken him like 18, 19 years to miss a game. But that comes with age. The older you get, you know, the more fragile you're going to get. So it's going to be the injuries point where the injuries is going to cost him. And if they have, he's missed multiple games this season. He's missed multiple games last season with AD. And to be 100% honest with you, I'm getting frustrated with AD. He has glass ankles. I'm tired of him missing games. I think he should be out. We should get younger assets for him.
Seriously.
And just because I'd rather have young players who are going to develop over the years, who are healthy, instead of a superstar who can only guarantee us like 50 to 60 games a season. And what if he gets into his playoffs, which he has gotten injured in playoffs before. Every game I watch, he's always injured. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Like, we need to do something with him. It's let him go or keep him, try to keep him healthy. But it's just the point where it's getting frustrating as a fan to watch this guy always could be injured and limping up down the court every game. It's a point where I just want him out of the team, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. AD, man. AD is disappointing me this season. I know he's been I actually do think I think he's injured, but I think he's just playing through it.
Yeah, I won't even be surprised.
Yeah, like I think he's injured because he's been banged up a couple. He's been banged up a couple games. I remember he left the game early. I know he's fighting through it, but he's not playing as dominant as he should be. We know he's a top five talent. You know, we know he could do it. You know, I'm sure you've heard about the argument with, you know, Giannis versus AD. And, you know, I always said AD was 10 times better than Giannis. I feel
switch
like
it up, switch it up now. Switch it right up now. I'm taking Giannis any day now over AD.
Like, if I look at today, I mean, you're gonna take Giannis just because of everything Giannis has done in the past year. Like, and I know AD was injured last year, so you know it's hard to say, obviously. But when you watch them play, the difference in demeanor, you know, and like Giannis brings it every single night. There's no night off. And AD, it just looks like he's just not about it every single game. He doesn't have that like dog in him, and it bothers me because I'm just like, I'm like, you in New Orleans, you were this like you were eating everyone every single game. So like, is it the LeBron effect? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's like he lost that. I don't know. Like he won a championship and just started chilling. I don't know what it is. I do think it's the injury. Like I know he's injured. I know he's injured, but if you're going to play, you know, like you might as well go out there and give it your all. But the Lakers, I'm just not convinced. I think they don't have enough. They're asking people to defend that don't really defend, you know, like Carmelo, Wayne Ellington, Malik, yeah, like these guys, they could score, but they can't play defense. And we know that defense is going to win you championships.
Yeah.
And I don't trust Westbrook at all. And I feel like in the playoffs, they're going to have to play Rondo more in the fourth quarter anyways. So it'll be interesting to see. But the spacing, the dynamics they have, I don't think it makes sense. The way they built this roster, it doesn't make sense. I don't know.
There's a couple points where I agree. There's one major point that I'm going to have to disagree with you on. The green part, the whole defense thing. Well, I'm just going to go back to AD real quick. He's having a great defensive year. I can't say anything on the defensive side of the ball. AD is great, but he's also shooting the worst in NBA history. He's shooting like, what, 32% from the field? His scoring ability has dropped. I think he's just shooting too much now. I think he's trying to shoot his way out of it, which is hurting him even more. So that part I could agree with. The disagree part, Westbrook. The fourth quarter, it definitely won't be Rondo. It should not be Rondo in the fourth.
Why?
Westbrook, I saw this, Westbrook has the most crunch time baskets in the past and since he's played in the NBA. That people say, I mean, like, yeah, his shooting ability is terrible, like its percentage, but when it comes to crunch time and you need someone, I'm giving the ball to Russ in that situation. The fourth quarter, the stats prove it. He's had the most go-ahead points or the most. It's something about like the most clutch fourth quarter points under below 2 minutes or something like that. Or it shocked me because when you think of Russell, you don't think of him shooting or making the big shots, but he has, and it's been under the radar. He's had a lot of those games in OKC, especially the one night against Denver. It was just a catch and shoot from the inbound. But yeah, Russ should be playing the fourth. I mean, yeah, Rondo's the facilitator, but Russ is the passer. He brings it hard on defense. He brings it hard on the offense. So I want Russ with the ball with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter in a close game. I'm giving Russ the ball. Simple.
He's
clutch. He's getting clutch. And it's like you saw it in last year with the Wizards against Brooklyn. He's a guy that can, if you need him, when you really, really need him, he's the guy that can get the bucket for you. If it's attacking, if it's laying up, if it's getting fouls or shooting three, he'll do it.
I know he's definitely not afraid of the moment, and that will help out LeBron. I think LeBron will take majority of the clutch shots this year. He's going to have to. But we know LeBron likes to make the right play and all that. But overall, I'm just not convinced on these Lakers. Like, there's no fear, you know what I mean? I have no fear of the Lakers. Like, I think they're very beatable. And especially in, like, a seven-game series, like, I don't see them sweeping any team. And also where their place is going to matter. But it is still early, so I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not going to go too hard on them. It is still very early. So, but the Lakers, we'll have to see. There was the Golden State Clippers game yesterday. I don't know if you were able to catch that, but, yeah, the Warriors are for real. They're for real.
Yeah, yeah. Curry got mad. Curry got in his bag. He got in his bag.
Yeah, man.
I do like his celebration, though, when he had the step back three and he gave himself a tech. I think that was just the cherry on the top.
I know. He might get fined for that, but yeah.
At that point, like I'll take the fine if I was him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was definitely looked like a foul.
Oh, it was. It was.
So understandably, you know, I'd be upset too. But the big thing you're going to say is that they assigned Clay and Wiseman to the G League.
Yep.
Affiliate. So he's coming back. I feel like he'll play on Christmas Day.
I think Clay he will
be back on Christmas Day.
I think he will.
And you're going to get Wiseman back there. You're going to get him now experience in the G League playing with Clay, just him and Clay. And then you're going to get that chemistry. And then once Clay comes back with Curry and Draymond, and then Draymond is going to click with Wiseman, it's a team that is definitely going to make a run in the playoffs.
Definitely.
I would not be surprised if they walk away with the chip.
I will not. I just really like how Golden State are playing. I like what they're doing. I think it's exciting for the NBA as well. I don't think, like, no one should really be mad that Golden State's doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? They shouldn't really have any haters. I think it's good for the league. Because everything they have now, they built, you know, they traded away smartly.
They drafted smart.
Yeah, they re-up basically. I tweeted this actually yesterday. I was like, it's funny how they basically lost the best player in the world, arguably, in Kevin Durant, and they're still in contention to win a championship, probably better than any team in the league right now. It's really unfair. It's unfair, but you have to look, like, that's a top tier franchise. They did it the right way. You know. It's just funny how things work. You know, they got D'Angelo Russell from the trade, and then they traded him for Andrew Wiggins, and now he looks like he's settled. And then because they did bad for a couple of years, you know, they got good picks. And then, you know, they drafted Jordan Poole. And then this is his second season. And, you know, they rebuilt their team, the bench, picking up Otto Porter Jr., you know, Gary Payton II. They got back Iguodala.
Yep.
things are just in the right places. They play basketball the right way.
They do.
I'm very happy for Golden State, and I'm excited to see where things go, and just shifting over to the Eastern Conference. How do you think the Raptors are doing so far this season?
Definitely more than I expected. I feel like, you know, they've had a couple of close games, but I feel like the future is bright for that team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Scottie Barnes is doing what he does best on both ends of the court. That's going to be a guy you need to start, I think, building around. Obviously, Siakam's coming back soon. I think he already came back. So now I feel like a healthy Raptors team, will, you know, in the next couple of years will be scary. And the player I actually like the most in that team is Watanabe. That guy, just he's out there and he just, you know, he plays like he wants to play. You know, like he wants to, you know, he deserves to be there. There was a quote that he came out with saying, like, you know, if, you know, out of 100 times I'm going to jump, I'll jump 100 times. He doesn't care about being in a highlight reel on the other end of the highlight reel. He's doing it because he wants to win. And that's the heart you need. And he had a ferocious block on Dylan Brooks and against Memphis. It was crazy. But yeah, I think the Raptors team, and they have heart and they have passion. And once they get better and they start to get developed, that's a team that's going to dominate again in the East.
Yeah. They'll be back soon. Like you said, yeah, they got a good young core. It'll take some time for things to start to get going. I did predict that they'd make the playoffs, but I was very skeptical. I was going back and forth. And the Celtics have been underwhelming as well, but I think them and the Raptors have a puncher's chance. But I think everybody else, you know, in because we got the Bucks, the Nets, we got Chicago, we got Miami, we got the Hornets. Who's taking the last three spots? You know, there's Indiana. There's the Wizards. Yeah.
Miami is, you know, sitting second right now, 13-7. They slipped a couple games, though. Mm-hmm. The Hornets are really starting to come up. They've caught foot. So has Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. I forgot about Atlanta.
Yeah.
Sixers,
too. Sixers, I don't know.
They're East scary. Is, yeah, right now they're sitting 10-10. You don't have to really worry about the Magic with the Pistons.
No.
I'm surprised the Pacers have been struggling this year. That was a team where I think they'd be a top five. But it's still early in the season.
Yeah.
You can't really see anything. But the early shakedown, the Bucks look a bit shaky. They started to get foot now. The Wizards, as much as I wanted to succeed, they're starting to drop games.
There's New York as well.
Yeah, the Knicks started off hot, but now they're starting to cool down a bit. Mm-hmm. The East so is it looks exciting. The Suns, I think they lost. I don't know, unless they kept playing.
No, the Suns, they won. They won.
The Suns are on a 15, right?
I think it's 16 now. Yeah.
The Suns are heating up now.
Yeah, they play.
It's fun. It's a fun season of basketball. I can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is what it should have been, the bubble year. You know, everyone was really excited. But the bubble, even last year, everyone was excited because Durant was finally going to play.
Yeah.
Kyrie was going to play, and now they got Harden. But this NBA year is very equal. It's very fair. There's no super teams. I mean, you could call a couple teams super teams, but everyone just has an equal amount of stars on each team, and they brings a competitive game every game, every day. And I like it. This is the old NBA where I loved watching it. If, you know, it's bringing back to, like, you had like Kobe Bryant, LeBron, D Wade, a young Durant, Dirk, Paul Pierce. Like, that's, in my opinion, like, why I became a fan of the NBA is that era. Now it's starting to bring back that feeling, and it's just exciting to see.
Yeah, I'm very happy to where the NBA is at. There's no overwhelming favorite. It's a good time for the NBA. There's a lot of good things going on. You know, a lot of good teams to watch. So I'm happy. I'm very happy, man. Like, it's just crazy to think about, you know, a couple years ago with the bubble season. You know, it wasn't, not that the bubble season was bad or anything, but, you know, we missed the whole atmosphere, you know, even more like storylines and stuff like that. But the NBA bounced back really quick. So got to give a lot of credit to them as well.
Yeah, they did. And there was a lot of hate going towards the NBA with super teams and all that stuff. But now it's starting to pan out, equal itself out. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to end episode 9 of the Sports Bible. A lot of good talk in there. We had some disagreeing this time. But usually we have a lot of agreeing. But we had a couple of disagreements. Next episode, I think this is the last one before the Christmas break.
The next week.
So episode 10, it's a big one. Double digits. Hopefully we'll give you guys something a bit more. We'll see what we can do here. We might even bring someone on. We don't know. Episode 10. Mm-hmm. It's a big one. It's a big one. But that will do it for the episode 9. I've been your co-host, Jackson.
I've been your co-host, Michael. And we will see you next week for episode 10.
Take care.
Take care.